How much do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's non-profit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen, and then get riding.
Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR. Well, 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 welcome to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners. However you've decided to spend this hour with us, we're really, really, really glad to have you. So one of those things that comes up a lot in many of our lives is just that impulse. So whether we're in a relationship, whether we want to cheat, just experience an infidelity, or on the opposite end of the spectrum, we jump into love in an affair with someone who's married. And with that, sometimes it's not always the best thing. Most of the time it's not, because cheating is not a great thing. It's really important, as you know, on the show that we talk about communication a lot and why it's important to have happy, healthy communication within your relationships, because you want to make sure that hopefully you can keep yourself really abreast so then that way there isn't any affairs. But when they happen, they do happen. And I'm really excited because we've got a really special guest with us who is wonderful. She is world-renowned. She's in Vancouver right now, and she's got a show starting in the fall on Slice Network, so we're really, really excited to have her. She is the lovely, the wonderful, the Sarah Simons. Welcome to the show.
Caroline, you have the best radio voice ever. I'm serious.
Thank you. I will take that as a huge compliment.
You're sending me to sleep in a good way.
Okay, that's good. Thank you. I guess in some ways it's my bedroom voice, but it's got a little bit of the rasp.
And now I know why you're on the late hour.
Have to be on after 10 o'clock because it can be a little bit more sexy at that time. Even though in reality, I think sexy equals confidence.
Well, I've seen your picture. You've got it going on.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for having me on, though. I'm really, really chuffed to be able to talk to you and your audience.
Thank you. And I'm really excited to have you on. It's fantastic. Congratulations on your show.
Thank you.
And congratulations as well, because you've gotten a lot of coverage in regards to with your book as well, and about having an affair. And it was published in 2007. So one of the things I wanted to just have you just speak to our listeners just in regards to kind of just capitulating what it's about. And then from there, I wanted to ask you just how things have evolved and just how your viewpoints changed from when you first had it published to now.
Yeah, that's a great question. So much has happened since the book was first published, and I couldn't write that book now because I'm not in the same place I was, but It helps women every day who still write to me in despair of their affair. They're in love with a married man. They need a handbook to wake them up to realize they deserve more. And that's really the mantra behind my message, behind my book. You know, women, you do deserve more. Don't live a secret life in the shadows of a man who already has a life.
And in your book, you talk about as to why some of the reasons that women end up getting involved with a married man. And did you want to just tell our listeners just a few of those? Because some of them are sometimes the guys have lots of excuses as to why.
Right.
And just in regards to as to why they and just some of the reasons why sometimes women do get involved, the lies we tell ourselves, essentially.
You just made a great point about the excuses. And, you know, it takes two people to tango.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. We all should take responsibility. But there's no one generic answer in this equation. It could be that you just happen to have chemistry with a guy and you may know he's married and you'll think, I'll figure it out later.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's a one-night stand. Or he means nothing to me. I'll keep control of my emotions. None of that probably happens. It could
no.
be that he doesn't, right? We're women. It could
We're
be
human.
That he doesn't tell you he's married. That's happened to me a couple of times and to women who write to me. And that's really, I think, the most heartbreaking thing, when somebody doesn't tell you up front the current situation, then you can't make the right decisions. But I also, when I'm asked this question, you know, what draws women to married men, I love to throw it back and say, what draws married men to have affairs with other women? It's supply and demand, right?
That makes perfect sense. Supply and demand. And especially in a city like Vancouver, where there is one of the conversations I hear a lot is, why are there no men? Vancouver's not a dateable city, which I don't totally agree with that, because I think that anywhere is dateable as long as you meet the right person, and you just have to be open for it.
I agree with you. And the more negative vibes we put out as women, sort of, you know, everybody's married or gay and nobody in this town, it's never going to happen. You reap what you sow. So, you know, yes, life is harder these days to meet people perhaps on your wavelength, but if you go out with the attitude that there's nobody out there, you're going to self-sabotage.
Mm-hmm.
So I say to women, keep your options open. Make your own happiness. Be happy in yourself. If you meet somebody else, great. If you don't, okay, you're still happy. Don't rely on a man to give you your happiness or your validation.
And that's a really big point about not relying on another person to rely for your validation or just to rely on another person, because I think part of it starts with, no matter whether you're in a relationship, the only person you should be having an affair with is yourself.
That's a great point. I love that line.
Thank you.
Make yourself happy. Have an affair with yourself. Buy yourself flowers, right, Caroline?
Yeah, and just love yourself, because it starts with that. And if you don't have that marriage, that nice, wonderful foundation first, it's hard to move forward and have happy, healthy relationships, no matter how great they are. Because even if they are Mrs. Right or Mr. Right, you may not see them because you're not ready for it.
Right. No, it's absolutely right. And this is the work I do with women every day. And when you are in an affair, and people might be listening today and judging the other woman, and I understand that, but you are a broken person, because nobody of any health factor would ever agree to being second best. They'd say, I'm sorry, Mr. Jones, you have a wife. Go home and deal with her. And, you know, I deserve to be number one, not somebody's dirty little secret. So when you live as the mistress, as the other woman, it shows that your self-esteem isn't where it should be. So I work with women to try and get their self-esteem back up there so they can say no to the wrong men. And like you just said, you know, make yourself happy, be in love with yourself. It sounds narcissistic, but in a healthy way.
It's a good one. I like the term self-focused as opposed to selfish.
You know, yeah.
Mm-hmm. In regards to one of the questions I asked at the top, and I'm so sorry, I am a bubble thinker, so I tend to jump in and just keep going. But I was asking in regards to, since 2007 when the book came out, and now it's 2012, how have you evolved and how has it changed just doing the work that you've done, especially working with the women, creating Mistresses Anonymous?
Yeah, well, my life has taken many dips and turns and peaks and troughs. And, and so that's a whole other show that would take longer than we have.
We can always have you back.
I'm just blessed that I was able to get out of, you know, the dark side and the wrong side of the tracks to really find my epiphany to getting on the straight and narrow. And mostly my strength and my focus comes from helping other women do the same. That's why I founded my support group. It's a foundation for women who want to get out of, you know, despairs of their affair with married men. And that's what keeps me focused as well. And that's what is now being turned into a reality show. Who would have thought in my wildest dreams? I started this from my bedroom 5 years ago. So anyone listening tonight, I urge you to follow your goals and your dreams and never give up, however crazy the ideas are.
Which is pretty cool. So congratulations with the show starting, and it's going to be on Slice, which is awesome, which will be in the fall. And in regards to some of the, so if I was, say I'm having an affair, or actually let me rephrase that, I'm a mistress and I am involved with the married man, and I send you an email, say, hey, this is, I'd really like to join Mistress Anonymous. What are some of the steps that you go through in regards to from the very first email or phone call you get to actually getting involved with the group?
Great question again. Well, first of all, they got a personal reply from me. I take pride in that. And at the moment, I have the time to do that. So any woman that writes to me via the website will get a personal reply from me. And I will tell them where a meeting is being held in Vancouver. We held one last night. I had about 10 women turn up, each with a different story, different circumstances, different nationalities. It's quite phenomenal. And it's all going on here in Vancouver. Different age groups. It's amazing. Basically, you know, from point of taking that first big step, and it's a huge step to admit that you might need help. And you hear it wherever you hear it, and I want to get to that group. So have the utmost compassion. I talk to these women personally, tell them where a meeting will be held. I am going to be a little bit busier these days with filming the show, so I urge any woman who wants help and who also might want to talk to me about being on the show to get in touch, because that means I can work with them on a one-to-one basis for probably over a period of a week. You know, so
which is fantastic.
I know. And it's just, you know, I don't want to give too much away on the show because obviously it's very much anonymous. But I just urge anyone in despair of an affair to write to me at mistressesanonymous.com. You will guarantee a personal reply from me, and we'll take it from there. How's that?
I think that sounds perfect. And in regards to with affairs, what are some of the breaking points where people finally, where you'd think that somebody would leave? And just some of the things that you talk about in your book, like about one of the things that I picked up on was just sometimes the isolation, sometimes that other women just don't understand, and they're almost more judgmental. And automatically blame the other woman, essentially.
Right, absolutely. And again, two great points. Well, first of all, when you're in an affair, it is very isolating, as you just mentioned, because it's something you're quite shameful of, and also that's not the norm. So you don't have an immediate peer group to talk about it. So you're living a very important part of your life in secret, and that's not a way to live. It just rots you to the core. I know that for a fact. And, you know, women deserve more than being, like I said earlier, somebody's secret. You know, what can I say? It's just not a way to live. I lived that way for over 15 years. I'm not proud of it, but it's something I urge women not to do, hence why I started Mistress Anonymous.
And that was one of the things you mentioned in our pre-show chat, was just that there's that young women are really at risk of having an affair with a married man. Why is that?
I'm sorry, say that again, Carla.
That young women are sometimes at risk of having an affair with the married man.
Absolutely. I mean, I hear from lots of young women, and, you know, when I started going on the wrong path, I was probably 22-ish. I think that sometimes all that glitters you think is gold, but it's not. I think that life has changed so much these days, where we live in a society that's sort of all about instant gratification and sort of vulgarness that, you know, you can have whatever you want. And I think that more married men are straying. I think that more younger women are perhaps not satisfied with their own age group, seeking more out of life. It's not rocket science, but it will not help them down the line if they get in these relationships and waste years of their lives being with a married man. So I can only sort of say, you know, if you seek a healthy relationship, if you want to be a wife, a mother, and have a family, don't waste years of your life getting involved with a married man, because he will use you to keep his marriage going. That's what they do. I'm not a man hater. I'm not speaking out of turn. I'm just saying that's what happens.
And so you're mentioning in, I think it was, sorry, I YouTubed you and Googled you before I had you on the show.
Are you stalking me, Carmen?
Maybe a little bit.
Okay,
so.
Feels good.
Definitely flirting with you.
I got that.
Just don't tell my boyfriend.
I've already told him.
You have?
He's here, actually.
Okay. Don't tell me that. I'll cover my ears up. But in regards to with relationships and things like that, actually, you've just made me lose my train of thought. Sorry.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and I actually am blushing. Sometimes I think we need a webcam in here because my face
one?
Is bright red. We don't, actually.
It's a management, Caroline.
I know. I've got to bug everybody at CITR where they've got to get pictures.
We should do a live webcam next week.
Well, perhaps when you're back, and because you're going to be back and forth with shooting, I imagine, as well. That
well,
perhaps
I'm here for 5 months, so we've got plenty of time.
Oh, well, that's perfect, because I'll have to have you actually in the studio next time, and then we'll have
nice
to have something in there, which would be great.
Let's focus.
That's right, focus. And I'm supposed to be, sorry. in regards to with the married man, and... What are some of the things, that's what I was going to ask you. You had mentioned when I was Googling you, just on, I think it was Fanny Kiefer's show or on The Province last time when you were in town last spring, that that about 25 to 30% of the people who had actually come to Mistress Anonymous's were actually married women who were having affairs with men.
Yeah, absolutely. And at the time that was true. I haven't heard from so many these days, but absolutely.
Okay.
I had an influx of women who were married, who were having affairs. But the interesting thing is when married women have affairs, they tend to be with married men. So all the percentage of women I talked about were always women who said they're having affairs with other married people. Whereas when married men have affairs, they tend to be with single women. I find that hugely interesting.
Why is that?
I guess, the end of it is infidelity hits so many different, criteria, different... married men, married women, single people, etc. Infidelity has no boundaries these days.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what makes it fascinating. That's why we're talking tonight at length.
Mm-hmm.
The topic of infidelity, and I'm obviously I'm a trailblazer for this topic in a good way. I want to bring it to people's living rooms and just say, hey, you don't have to go around with this heavy burden on your shoulders. If you're in an unhappy marriage, deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Either make it work or get out. Don't go and take on more problems and take on another woman. And other woman, don't be that person who helps that marriage trick along, just want people to live in the truth, men, women, everybody.
It's kind of like, I guess, like AA. If somebody's not going to admit there's a problem, you can't fix it. And if there's an affair going on, obviously there is, well,
it's
I shouldn't say obviously.
Right? It's a symptom of something.
It is. It's a symptom. And so you need to actually go right to the root cause and fix it. And if the symptoms are there and we just keep treating the symptoms, well, it's never going to be fixed.
Absolutely. If you put your head in the sand, the only thing you get is sand in your hair. Right? There's no point in living in denial.
That's
no
true.
Point.
And bad hair.
Exactly.
We're going to take a really quick short break, and when we come back, we're going to be chatting more to the lovely Sarah Simons. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We are going to be right back. As soon as I can get this thing to play, please forgive me.
How much do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's non-profit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the Commercial Drive area at
Audio Pile, Bone Rattle Music, High Life Records, and the People's Co-op Bookstore.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at citr.ca.
Jazz is a word that means many different things to many different people. The best definition of jazz that I know of is the jazz show on CITR with yours truly, Gavin Walker. Monday nights, 9 to midnight, with the jazz feature at 11 o'clock. Check us out every Monday.
Sound and time. Waste, to cause to lose energy, strength, or vigor. Music Waste, Vancouver's annual independent cultural festival, accepting submissions until March 31st. The festival will run from June 7th through the 10th at venues across East Vancouver and, as always, will focus on the city's more innovative and genre-defying music. Don't forget to also mark your calendars for a fundraiser planned for April 6th at the Astoria Hotel. To submit to become a part of Music Waste, just visit musicwaste.ca.
Liveband.com is Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar. New shows are added daily by the city's most active promoters, musicians, and by the driving force of the music scene, the fans. Liveband.com's listings are different because they are integrated with profiles updated by bands and business owners as they promote upcoming events. Check out the archives to see how closely we've worked within the community to put on the shows you love. Visit LiveMusicVancouver.com for the latest independent and major label event listings. Liveband.com, Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar.
And we're back at Sexy in Van City Radio, 101.9 FM on CITR. And if you're just joining us now, we are talking to the lovely, the fabulous Sarah Simons, who is in town right now, who is an infidelity analyst, which I'm really excited. And she's actually going to be doing a talk tomorrow in town, which I think is really, really cool. Sarah, do you want to share a little bit of information as to where that's going to be and what time, just some of the details and what you're going to be chatting about?
Absolutely. Well, I'm super excited to be able to announce that I'm working with Jacqueline Conroy. As I'm sure you know, it's one of, you know, Canada's main design houses.
She's got great
we're doing
clothes.
A talk tomorrow evening at Her Boutique and Studio, which is on 164 West Fifth Avenue in Vancouver. And basically, 5:30 till sort of 8:30, it'll be a talk by myself, and then some wine, and a great fashion show, and the chance to shop at the boutique. And I'll be telling people gathered all about, you know, how I've got to be here, how I'm so blessed to be working with people like Jacqueline Conroy, all about my reality show. And so thank you for mentioning that.
You're welcome. So you've been doing a lot of talks and since your book came out in 2007, and you'd experienced being the other woman as well for about 14 or 15 years. Where are there certain things when you do talks and do Mistresses Anonymous, is there some key questions that come up or just general myths of what people assume about the other woman, like just that you'd like to pop?
Again, great. You have great questions,
Sarah. Thank you.
Whenever I hold a meeting, the main question is, Sarah, how do I get out of this situation? It's almost, you know, these women, and I was one of them, so I feel it, I know it. How can I get out of this toxic love? I'm in love with a man whom I'm a secret to. I can't talk about him to my friends. How can I end my attachment to him? And it's a process like any addiction. That's why I called my group Mistresses Anonymous. Mm. It is an addiction group. It's like Alcoholics Anonymous, but at my group, you've seen the steps, Caroline.
I did. I actually saw number 13, and I was like, hmm.
All right. You know, normally recovery groups are 12 steps, but I had to add a 13th, which is have a glass of wine, you need one. But in all seriousness, it's basically, you know, they need the motivation to realize they're not bad people, but they've made some bad decisions. And how can they get out of it? And that's where my meetings and my workshops come in.
So it's basically nipping the guilt so they can actually deal with what's actually there.
I don't like to use the guilt word. I mean, okay. At the end of the day, they are a party to the affair. Of course they are, mm-hmm. the other woman. But you have to understand that when a man cheats on his wife, it's a conscious decision. It's not just something he woke up and accidentally fell into doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's the one who's breaking his vows. Now, it doesn't make it right for the other woman to go along with it. But as we've already said, sometimes you don't always know. He's the one breaking those vows. And when a married man presents himself in a way that he's blatantly abusing the vows he took in church or whatever, mm-hmm. why should you expect the other woman to really care about his marriage when he doesn't?
No, I meant more about the fact that I think all of us, and I let me rephrase the question, I think a lot of us grew up reading fairy tales like Cinderella. I wanted the happily ever after, and I think all of us grew up with that. So what I meant in regards to guilt, that as another woman, as just the guilt and shame, because the word affair, it's almost like a dirty word in some ways.
It is, because it's
that's what I mean.
And yet, on the other hand, how's this for the flip side?
Mm.
We all buy the glossy magazines, go to see movies about this topic. Infidelity sells. You know, it's a hot shelf salad, that's a mouthful. You know, we all want to know who's cheating on who. So
yeah.
It's a kind of double standard.
So we basically feed in it.
On the other hand, we all rush to see the latest thing or the latest sex scandal, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know.
Yeah, sometimes I wonder if it's crossed between that or if it's more like a car accident where we're just drawn to things that just aren't happy, aren't healthy. And I don't know if it's a weird human nature thing where if we did that back in the caveman era when, you know, somebody slaughtered something, if we all went and stared at it. But sometimes I wonder about that when I think of the tabloid magazines, just that we tend to do that instead of actually taking action, making change.
I agree. But as women, I just want us to live in the truth. You know, I hope that we'll all meet decent men who we make happy and they won't want to cheat. But we have to understand that men and women are so different. And I started another organization called Wife School. And Wife School is a place where I teach wives how to be more like the husband's mistress. You know, don't let that void start where another woman could walk in. Be everything your husband wants. You know, and if... So, there's so much more to this. It's not just about, you know, blaming the other woman, as you mentioned earlier. It's, you know, keeping your marriage on track. And if it's not working, then why stay? And even in the wrong, even if you're in a relationship, it's wrong, why stay? You can't keep trying to fix something that's broken.
No, it's really difficult to fix things that are broken. And not that it's impossible, because there's some great counselors out there. Dr. Harville Hendricks has some fantastic work, which he's got the book, How to Get the Love You Want, and Dr. Gary Chapman's got The Five Love Languages, which is a fantastic one in regards to communication as well. So there's some really great resources as well, and I think it's fantastic. In regards to with the wives, I think it's important where we do take control if you're in a relationship and you suspect that your partner's cheating. Are there some key signs that you'd say that, like that, or are they more like stereotypes in regards to things like, say, lipstick on the collar?
That's too obvious.
Okay, good point. Obviously the working late, like there's the stereotypical ones, but are there things that we wouldn't think about that perhaps we wouldn't have heard about?
Right, and yes, I think the subtle signs are way more obvious. You know, first of all, if there's any kind of suspicion, I urge women to go with that. You might be wrong, but as women, we're born with a great gut instinct. If you think something's wrong, you've got a gut feeling there's something not quite right, I urge you to follow that. Just find out. If you're wrong and you've got a great guy, at least you know. But if you're right and you've found, at least you won't be humiliated. Yes, it's going to be painful, but better to deal with the pain now than be humiliated for months down the line, because he will keep cheating if you let him, if you close, you know, turn a blind eye to it. Things like the cell phone, Caroline. Cell phones are in everybody's worlds, in everybody's houses. Men who have affairs, married men who have affairs, control their affairs in the palm of their hand. That cell phone is their gateway to their mistress. I urge women to just be a little bit more diligent to wives. You know, is your husband taking his cell phone into the bathroom with him? Why? Is he pretending to have a shower when he's already had two that day? You know, is he just looking for a little bit of away time to text and receive messages from his mistress in the bathroom of your house? It happens. You might think these things sound bizarre. It's normal in the world of infidelity. So I could go on and on, but, you know, little subtle signs I urge women to look for.
Mm-hmm. The other thing, I'm going to play devil's advocate on this as well and just encourage women as well to have the conversations as opposed to just directly accusing your partner, which I think
I didn't say anything about accusing. I'm saying do your due diligence. Mm-hmm. Just don't be, you know, don't be somebody who has the wool pulled over your eyes, because men are very good at that. So don't be paranoid and, you know, don't assume anything, but just be in control, you know, take the reins for a change.
Paint me a picture. If, like, what kind of conversation should they have with them? Like, how should they phrase it if they're going to ask their husband if they're cheating?
Oh, that's another topic. I'm talking about looking at signs.
Okay.
Well, if you're going to have a conversation, it's always never do the blame game thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You always ask an open-ended question. Honey, do we have a problem? When you do so-and-so, when you take your cell phone in the bathroom and close the door and don't let me in for hours, it makes me feel like... You know, put it back on him. Don't accuse. Men hate being confronted with things because they will take the least resistance and, you know, be very defensive. So I would always urge women to find the right moment, do their homework. And if everything is adding up in the wrong way, then, you know, confront it. You know, like I said earlier, if you put your head in the sand, all you get is sand in your hair. Don't live that life.
And I want to, if I may add to it as well, I agree, don't keep your head in the sand, especially if you're really suspecting and it's eating away at you and you're very, very unhappy. Don't stay together just because of finances. Get help. Go to a support group. Talk to Sarah. Talk to a counselor. Just get some help and get that conversation going and see if it's fixable, if it's not, if it is. And I'm also going to say as well, if you've gotten into a relationship with someone where you've had a history of being cheated on, also to just making sure that you check in with yourself as well and double check that, am I projecting stuff from a previous relationship onto a new relationship and perhaps manifesting things where just pushing stuff. So just making sure things just feel super solid and just solid communication all the way.
Great points, and solid communication, I love that. It's all about communication, isn't it? You know, intimacy and communication, it's what it's all about. When either one of those dies, that's when you have a problem.
It's so true, and the other thing I'm just going to stress as well is just there's so many different ways to communicate. You've got the five love languages, where you've got physical touch, and you've got acts of service, words of acknowledgement. There is also quality time and gifts. And with that, each one of us has usually two major ones, and sometimes ours don't always match our partner's. So with that, sometimes we think our partner doesn't love us, where in actual reality, we're just communicating in different languages because we show our love in different ways.
And you know, half the time, what does the job? It's just a cuddle.
Hmm.
Seriously. It's the easiest thing in the world to do. Just give your partner a cuddle. It's not all about the sex. It's about connection.
It's so true. Sometimes I actually... Have you ever seen that thing on the internet? It used to be a textbook back in the olden days where they actually used to encourage I think it was the 1940s or 1950s, for a woman to make sure the children are playing quietly. She's all dressed up, dinner's ready, and she goes and answers the door with a martini in her hand and gives them a kiss on the cheek. I've always thought that was really cool, and I've always thought that both the man and woman, whoever is home, should actually drop what they're doing, run to the door, just give that person a huge hug, and just acknowledge them and really see them, and from there, just move forward.
So. And as human beings, we all want to feel appreciated, so whether it's a woman opening the door, whether it's a man opening the door, we all want to have that hug. Could appreciate it with or without the martini. That's a bonus.
Very
make
true.
Mine a double. But, you know, we all want to feel good about ourselves and be with somebody who makes us feel good. It's just human nature.
Very much so. And I'm going to add one more thing, which is you actually need 12 hugs a day, and you live up to 10 years long.
12?
12. And so that's, can you imagine if you get more?
I know. Now you've set the barrier. What if we're not getting 12?
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be from somebody you were sleeping with. It can be from friends. They've actually done so many studies just about how human contact is absolutely imperative. It's 12 hugs a day. It's one of the reasons why happily married couples actually do live longer. And sometimes you'll see with couples that have been together for a long time in happy relationships. Sometimes one will die shortly after the other one does, because they're so connected. But you look at the opposite end of the spectrum, where babies will actually die if they're not touched. And in orphanages around the world, they actually have to teach people how to hold them. Opposite end of the spectrum, where they encourage seniors to have pets, because it actually lowers their blood pressure. It's just that contact with the unconditional love with the living being. Touch is key.
That makes sense. That's very interesting.
Thank you. So what is next for you? You've got a lot going on, and it's exciting.
I know, right? I just need a hot Mountie, a hot Canadian Mountie. That was sort of make everything okay. What's next for me? You know what? I am blessed to be on your show tonight. I am blessed to be making my reality show to help women everywhere. And I'm just busy living my dream. I never thought in a million years I'd be in this place. I started Mistresses Anonymous 5 years ago after being on Oprah, and just was inundated by women who were living the secret life as a mistress. I had nobody as their sort of champion to talk about this topic. So I'm just going with the flow, and I'm thrilled to be able to bring this message to the world. It was long overdue, and I hope that everybody will enjoy watching my show and at least learn something from it.
And I think that's key. So that's exciting. If one of the things I know we talked about before we started the show was for young girls, just in terms of really encouraging them for self-esteem, encouraging them just not to get involved with married men, married women, either way. What if you could wave a magic wand and change the what we got taught in elementary school, like in primary school for kids, about what relationships, what would you like to be taught as part of curriculum?
That's a great question. Gosh, you're taxing me tonight at this rate. I'll kill you. I think, again, sort of living in the truth, not trying, yes, we all perhaps want the dream world of the white dress and walking down the aisle. I think we have to deal with reality, though. And I think, I don't have children, but if I did, I would want to teach my girls to be savvy and not be walked over by any man. My message is not to be manipulated by any man ever, whether it be your boss, your boyfriend, your husband, and God forbid, your married lover. Don't be that person that was able to be manipulated. People only treat you how you allow them to.
That's a very valid point. What is something that we can do for teaching young boys so that they don't cheat? What are some things that we might be able to do?
Castrate them.
I can't go with that one. I'm sorry. They are doing a lot of really neat things in Sweden and some other parts of the world, so I was just curious. I know you're teasing.
I'm not a genius. I can't answer that question. Okay. Men will be men. They think with the wrong part, they're enough for me. You can't possibly ask me to, you know, answer that question properly. I would just hope that men, you know, I don't know, you and I are similar ages. The world has changed so much. These days, teenagers and youngsters, there's less boundaries out there. And I kind of find that sad. And I sound really old right now, but there's not so much courting, there's not so much
romance,
stuff like that. Everything, like I said earlier, sort of instant gratification. That's not really good in the long run. So what would I send a message to young guys? Be courteous, you know. Try to find the equilibrium. It's a tough one. I'm sorry. I really can't answer that very well. I'm sorry.
No, that's totally cool. I was just curious. In certain parts of the world, they're doing things. For example, educating men that not to objectify women. For example, in Sweden, they've put a lot of money into that in their educational systems, which I thought was a really neat way to do it. And they've just changed their family structure. So, for example, on a government level, actually increasing. So, say if somebody does have children and they're a married couple and they want to go on paternity leave or maternity leave, it's actually quite significantly high of what their normal take-home would be that they'd still be getting, just to actually build a stronger family structure and encouraging men to just take more responsibility within the family as opposed to just leaving it just for the ladies. But I'm really curious to see a study done on Sweden in like 20 years from now, just to see what happens.
Will we still be here, Caroline, do you think, in 20 years?
I hope so. I will be cryogenically frozen and they can replace all my body parts that need to be replaced, and I'll be still just as dazzlingly beautiful. That's my goal anyway.
Well, I think you'll reach it. I think you will. Now, are we going to talk about polyamory?
I would love to touch in on polyamory relationships, and I was curious about that because I think both of us, and you can jump in if I'm wrong, agree that communication is absolutely imperative. So, one of the things I had wanted to voice was just in regards to polyamory, which for listeners out there who may not be familiar with what polyamory is, it's when a couple agrees that they are able to have relationships with other people, where there's always the primary relationship and there's multiple secondary relationships sometimes, and they're actually come from a place of love as opposed to lust is the idea, and everybody's really open, they have those conversations. And so my question was just what your thoughts are in regards to if that would count as an affair or not really, because of the fact there's a lot of communication going on.
Well, what I always say is, it's not cheating if you know about it. So people are so judgmental about this topic that if it works for the people involved, then, you know, go for it, I say. The worst thing is when somebody is in the dark about something.
Mm-hmm.
Polyamory, you're not.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah, and if the rules change, just to keep things moving forward and having conversations about things.
Absolutely. Communication, like you said, is key. And be in control of the situation. Don't be used, don't be abused, don't be put on. Yeah, the same rules apply. It's just a little different.
It's true. What about for gay marriage? Because in Canada, where I'm really proud that we do have gay marriage as well. And that was one of the questions I know I'd asked you just on our commercial break, just in regards to with gay marriage, because I know cheating is cheating is cheating, but sometimes when it mixes, so say someone is in a heterosexual relationship, but they're having an affair with someone who is gay, or vice versa, where they may be in a gay relationship, but having an affair with somebody who's heterosexual or with another gay man.
Again, there's so many topics here. I mean, yes, there are men who are married who are having gay affairs with gay men. Mm-hmm. But I have to say that many of my friends, two of my close friends in question, that come to mind, they have been in 21-year relationships with their partners, and they're gay. That's longer than most people I know in heterosexual relationships.
Very much so.
I'm all for gay marriage. I really am. I'm all for, you know, equalism, etc. I'm not for men who lie and abuse their position as a married man, who have secret gay affairs, lie to their wife and family, whilst also reeling in a man. That's not healthy, that's not right. But I'm all for being who you are, and being loud and proud, and, you know, living in the truth.
And I think that's key. So how does somebody find out what is the truth?
Oof.
Because it gets confusing, especially if you get to that point where someone is emailing going, okay, I need to get out of this. I'm desperately in love with this married man. How do I find my truth? Because they know that they're feeling desperate. They know that they don't feel good about this. And how do they get to the root of that, where they can actually finally just snip that symptom and get right to the root cause, which is self-esteem?
Well, let's not confuse truth with excuses.
Okay.
All right. You know, as human beings, we all make excuses. Yes, I'm living in the truth, but I'm not telling my wife that because it would hurt her. Or I'm a straight man who's having an affair with a gay man, but I have to do that. I don't want to hurt whatever. So many excuses can be made to rationalize your behavior. My slant on living in the truth is being true to yourself, number one, as we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Don't seek somebody else to validate you.
Got it.
When you're living true to yourself, you don't need to go and search for somebody else to make you complete. You know, you should, if you're having a relationship, that person should enrich you, not suck you dry of your emotions and rot you to the core, as often happens in an affair.
Hmm.
So, you know, maybe it's not a very good answer, but living in the truth to me would be being true to yourself and welcoming in only healthy things that enrich your life, having a healthy relationship, and somebody who is a confidant. And yes, it's a cliche, but a soulmate, they are out there. And we shouldn't be so cynical. I used to be very cynical myself. We shouldn't be so cynical to think they're not, because they are. And don't settle. You know, why settle and just be with somebody because you need somebody? No. Wait for the right person. If you never find them, that's okay, because you make your own happiness. That's my thing.
And you should be married to yourself first and foremost.
Well, not even use, who needs to use the married word? I'm happily single. I could live and die single. Not a problem. There's no stigma to it. You know, some people were born to be single. Far better to be single than to be existing in the wrong relationship when somebody's hurting you. Then you have no power. When you're single, you have all the power. You might be lonely, but you've still got all the power.
Well, considering one out of three women worldwide have dealt with violence in relationships, according to Amnesty International, it's, yeah, that's big, before the age of 18. So it's important, very important.
Take control, keep control.
Very much so. In regards to our computer era with the internet, where it's so easy to have an affair, one of my guy friends actually described online dating as basically like online shopping, where there was no point trying anymore because of the fact that every time you just clicked on, you can find somebody new, or you're on checking your Facebook and, you know, you're looking at your friend's profile and it's like, oh, who's that?
I agree. So, I think everybody should ditch the online dating thing.
Really?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. It's gotten to a point where there's no legitimacy to it. There's no... No, I don't. I hate it. I've done online dating for years, and I have some stories, my goodness. But it's not normal. You know, if you meet somebody in a bar or a restaurant or a supermarket or the gym, at least you can tell if you have chemistry. It doesn't matter what they look like. However, when you're online, you look at the person's picture, which generally isn't a true picture, and you judge them. Naturally, you've got to go on. So when you meet them, you've got this pre-existing judgmentalness, you know, and they're not quite what they look like, etc. So I would say people try to be happy on your own and meet people in the normal circumstances, as in day-to-day life. And if it doesn't happen, hey, it doesn't happen.
So I'm just thinking, because with online relationships, there's a lot of people who have fallen in love and actually have gone together.
No, not a lot, Caroline. Some.
Well,
what do they say? One in three? There's like one in three divorces as well.
Touché. But there are some people who have, I know for Canada in particular.
There are some, yes.
Yeah, there's some of the reasons why is just because we've got some pretty strict in regards to just sexual harassment laws. Because if you think back to, like, say, the 70s, people met a lot of times because they'd meet at work, they'd meet through friends, they met people in their neighborhood because you'd get to see them directly. And now it's sometimes harder. We work longer hours. A lot of times you get slapped with a lawsuit if you flirt with somebody too much. Mm-hmm. So you have to be careful depending on what the workplace environment's like. So a lot of people do go online for dating and things like that. I just think that if you are going to meet somebody online, making sure you make it short in regards to the correspondence online, meet somewhere in person, and do it before it gets a little too far. So then that way you don't develop feelings based on correspondence that's gone back and forth.
And I have fell victim to that in the past. Had numerous, you know, interactions, and my God, this is the one. And then you actually meet them, and oh my goodness, I wish I hadn't wasted all that time, because he's not the one. So that's a very good point. You just make, meet as soon as you can. I'm meeting a safe place before you both invest too much.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the big thing, too, is if you're not into someone, so whether you're married to somebody, whether or not you just start dating them, whatever it is, just trying to be as honest in a positive way is probably the best way, constructively honest. Because if they're not a fit for you, perhaps if you care about them enough, hopefully you can allow them to fall in love with somebody who is a better fit for them so they can actually find their soulmate.
Right, and that's a great point you just made. That's why I love being on your show tonight, because you make some such great points. And you're right, you know the old adage, if you love somebody, set them free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe not, that person isn't for you. Definitely an affair is not for you, because it wouldn't be an affair if it was right. He would leave his wife, or if you're the other man involved with a married woman, she would leave her husband. So just my message is don't get involved in situations that are not going anywhere. You know, you deserve better.
And if you find yourself in a situation where where it is not going anywhere, check in with yourself and just see why. How did I get here? What am I doing?
Take some responsibility and accountability. You put yourself in that situation as well. Even if the person lied to you and told, and that's horrible, as we've talked about, that is really the worst thing. But still, when they come clean, have that strength to say, wow, you, I'm not sure I can say the word on the air.
You can swear, it's after 10 o'clock.
Okay, you bastard. You know, you lied to me. You didn't tell me the truth, and I'm out of here. It takes a hell of a lot of strength, but I can guarantee you, as you know, Carolyn, I'm sure, dealing with the pain short-term is better than the humiliation and suffering long-term.
Very much so. It's like basically ripping the thing right off and letting it heal as opposed to just putting band-aids over things over and over again.
And men will only, like we said earlier, men and people in general will only treat you how you let them.
Very much so.
Letting somebody keep dating you and treating you like this, they'll keep doing it. When you put the barriers down and say, I'm sorry, I deserve more than that, I don't want to be in this situation anymore, that's where the strength comes in.
So for a fair-proofing of marriage, so for wives that you're working with, what are some of the tips that you'd recommend?
To a fair-proof, did you say?
Yeah, to fair-proof your marriage, to make sure
Well, it's kind of simple. It sounds very exotic. It's kind of simple. First of all, act more like a mistress. You know, wives are going to hate to hear this, but things like staying up late, you know, be up late when your husband gets home from work, even if you're tired. Make an effort. Look good when he comes in from the office. Even if you've been at home all day watching OWN, eating chips, make an effort. Be sexy and put out. Even if you don't feel like sex, at least make an effort to be intimate. Come on, this is what men need. Women need to get with the program. And men are quite simple. If you can give them what they need at home, there'll be less chances that they will stray.
I'm going to jump in there and add one thing, if that's okay, which is, I think the big thing you're saying is not take them for granted. Because when you
feel
first
special, right, don't they? Yeah, make them feel like men.
Yeah, because when, and let them be men and create that in the relationship so they can shine and be the man that they are, the one that you fell in love with in the first place.
Right, the one you married, hello?
Yeah.
You know, did you give up when you at the wedding cake? No, when you said I do, it meant for life, not just for the honeymoon.
And there is, happily ever after takes work.
Absolutely it does. Of course it does.
I had one woman I had on the show. She was a relationship counselor. She and her husband had been together since she was 12. They started dating then. Got married later. No, but don't worry, they weren't married. It wasn't that on. But she was in her 80s, and I asked her what secret was, and she told me that she fell in love with her husband many, many, many times in their relationship, and they were still together. They'd been together for pretty much most of their lives. And she said the thing was she had to recognize, and she encouraged people to realize that your husband, it's like dating a different man because each person evolves each day, and you need to be able to fall in love with them a little bit more each day and recognize those changes.
And women need to realize that men don't think like that. Look at all, sadly, the work is on the woman's part. And I applaud her for saying all the things she did. But it is our job, and I'll probably get hate mail for this, but to keep our men interested. They have options, more options now. So if you're not making your man happy, if you're not sleeping with your husband, I can guarantee you somebody else is. And I deal with those kind of women every day.
What if your husband's not sleeping with you, though?
That's a great point, too. Well, if he's not, you mean if he's rejecting his wife?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she needs to sit down with him and say, you know, what's going on here? If she cares. So many wives don't care. They don't want to have sex. I urge them to sit down. I mean, it's wedlock. It's not deadlock. Come on, people. You know, is she getting elsewhere? I don't know. But you have to sit down. And if your partner doesn't want you, I mean, would you want to be with somebody who doesn't want you?
No.
I've heard from men who say that they let their wives, urge their wives to go to bed before they do, so they can fall asleep before they get to bed, and then there's no jiggery pokery, nothing going on, no whatever. They can just go to bed and go to sleep. I mean, is that a way to live?
No, and I have another question that just things pop in my head all the time. In regards to the recession, have you found that more women are coming to see you? And because you'd mentioned when you're here, even in the spring, and economically things have shifted in Vancouver, I like to think for the better, just in general, where it's just in terms of a friend of mine who's a stockbroker mentioned that. But I'm just wondering in regards to if some of the women that were cheating before, if part of it was possibly because their husbands were laid off.
I definitely think that is a factor.
I'm thinking in terms of self-esteem,
yeah,
because if
you know,
someone
doesn't
feel good.
When you're married, it's a collaboration. And so when something goes wrong in that merger, of course it affects the whole thing. If somebody loses their job, they lose some of the self-esteem. Of course, and this isn't talked about enough. I think that's a whole topic that needs to be talked about without question. We're human beings. Things affect us. It's easy to judge. So, yeah, if you get laid off in your job, your self-esteem has already taken a hit. I think that's a whole other show, Caroline.
It is.
Great,
we have
great,
lots.
Great, great point. Great point.
So just to recap, because it's been a great, 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 wonderful hour. So thank you so much, Sarah, for being on the show. I just want to recap. So tomorrow you are at Jacqueline Connoir. And you're going to be doing the talk tomorrow. And as well as that, people can also, where can they pick up a copy of your book?
They could go to my website, which is mistressesanonymous.com.
Perfect.
And they can order a copy there. And if they want to, if they care to send me an email, my email address is on the website, and I will reply to them personally, as I said.
Which I love that. I think that's fantastic.
I'm trying my best, you know, against all odds. Thank you very, very much for having me on tonight. I really hope that I hit a nerve with some of your audiences, and I know it's a younger demographic, and I really hope that we've stirred some minds tonight.
I think so, too. Actually, Shelley from Fresh Vancouver actually just added something on my Facebook, just saying that she had you in the magazine this month as well, so that's cool.
Oh, okay, that's great.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, and you're welcome. And just, can you give us any hints in regards to if about the show? Are you still looking for people?
It's top secret.
Okay. Are you still looking for people, though, or anything?
I am. Well, to be honest,
casting, looking
I don't
for
want to... are you ready for this?
Okay. Yes.
I've traveled the world, but Vancouver is unparalleled in infidelity.
Really? Why?
But don't be surprised, because Vancouver is always listed as one of, if not the top, one of the top five cities in the world to live in. So when there's such wealth and success, of course it goes, you know, high density population, etc.
And we've got beautiful women here.
Right, whatever. And men who want to cheat. So I'm never surprised by that, but I'm very busy in Vancouver. So I'm always looking to hear from women who might be interested. I'm looking, primarily to help women who need to get out of toxic relationships. But if somebody's interested in talking to me about being on my show, I'd love to talk to them. Absolutely. It's not about exposing the man whatsoever. This is purely a show about real women and real stories. Nothing to do with the man. And again, everything is on the website. So just go there and the rest is history.
And let's plug your website one more time.
MistressAnonymous.com.
Perfect. And as well as that, if you aren't following her on Twitter, you can as well. And it is Sarah J. Simons. I was going to say, call you Ms. Diamonds. So
like
it rhymes
that,
with diamonds.
You've just created a new name for me.
Perfect. And I'm looking forward to seeing your show as well. And I hope your talk goes awesome tomorrow.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on. It means a lot.
You're welcome. And up next is Hans von Claus's Misery Hour. He is a very sexy man to be miserable with. He'll be guiding us through the wee hours with his ambient music and his super hot voice. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. Have a great night, everyone. Bye-bye.
Neville Clark was born in Kingston, Jamaica in 1959. After studying in Italy, Clark graduated with honors from the Ontario College of Art. His work attempts to encourage black creativity and claims that Canadian women have displayed more strength than men in community ordeals. Clark is a two-time recipient of the A.J. Casson Award, presented each year for outstanding achievement in watercolor painting.
This PSA was brought to you in support of Black History Month on CITR 101.9 FM.